Today's episode is brought to you by Canby Foursquare Church. Since 1978, a place to grow, connect, and serve. In-person services are back with some restrictions to help ensure everyone stays safe and healthy. For the latest, visit their website at canbyfoursquare.com.
Welcome to Now Hear This, Canby,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Welcome to the Now Hear This, Canby podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Martina Baker, and this is what's happening this week in our community. A Canby resident and planning commission member has been selected to represent the community and surrounding areas in the Oregon legislature. James Hebe, a former city council candidate and current vice chair of the planning board, was county commissioner's pick to fill the unexpired term of former Representative Christine Drazen, who is running for governor. He was one of three nominees for the position selected by Republican officials in Clackamas and Marion County last week. The slate also included Canby businessman Paul Carlson of Oregon City and disabled Navy veteran Don Headland of Eagle Creek. My biggest reason for getting involved politically is because I care for our community and I want to be there for people, he told commissioners in his opening statement. I want to be a true representative of the public and I want to be able to engage everybody from different demographics. All commissioners present expressed admiration for the three candidates, as well as appreciation for the military service and sacrifice of Headland and Hebe, a Marine combat veteran who served in the Iraq War, including during the bloody Second Battle of Fallujah in 2004. Hebe, in particular, seemed to impress the panel with his demonstrated ability to collaborate and listen to his neighbors and constituents, including those of other ideologies or political persuasions. My biggest concern is to be a representative of the public, he said. I want to be able to meet with people, know their concerns. I want to be able to represent our district with the ongoing projects we have. Hebe cited several major area projects he vowed to continue to partner with and help push through at the state level, including the widening on Interstate 205 and the new Clackamas County Courthouse. He also promised to promote greater transparency and accountability for state leaders and to revisit land use laws and policies in light of the county's growing population. Clackamas County's five commissioners each had a vote that was strongly weighted due to that county comprising the vast majority of HD 39. Chair Tootie Smith and Commissioners Sonia Fisher and Mark Scholl voted for Hebe. Kevin Cameron, the only Marion County commissioner to attend Monday's joint meeting, also cast his 1/3 of 1 vote for Hebe. Clackamas County Commissioners Paul Savas and Martha Schrader supported Carlson. All expressed that it was a tough decision. Hebe will serve in the seat through January 2023, including during the 2022 legislative short session, which started last week. Due to redistricting, Canby will be part of the new House District 51 starting next year, and its representative will be selected by voters in the November midterms. After the vote, Hebe confirmed that he will run for the HD 51 seat in November. In a sudden turnaround, the Oregon Health Authority announced Monday it will lift the state's indoor mask requirements by the end of March for indoor places, including schools. The announcement came on the same day that the agency filed a permanent state rule requiring masks indoors in public places with the Secretary of State's office. The rule was put in place to ensure mask requirements continued. The temporary rule expired Tuesday. The health authority indicated in a statement that its decision was guided by a slowing in COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations. Over the past week, the average number of newly diagnosed cases had dropped about 40% in Oregon, it said in the statement. As of today, Oregon's seven-day total in COVID-19 hospitalizations inched down another 1%, with 1,072 people reported hospitalized with COVID. The agency said it expected hospitalizations and cases to keep falling. By late March, health scientists expected that above 400 or fewer Oregonians would be hospitalized with COVID-19, the level of hospitalizations the state experienced before the Omicron variant began to spread, the statement said. Oregon's indoor mask requirement has generated a lot of controversy, with several hundred people voicing opposition to the rule during a recent public hearing and in written testimony. They questioned the efficacy of masks to prevent the spread of the virus, said the rule infringed on their personal rights, and pointing out that Oregon was one of the few states to maintain the mandate. State officials and OHSU, however, said the mandate has saved lives in Oregon. The state has the third lowest case rate in the country and the seventh lowest death rate, the news release said. To keep rates low, it said people needed to continue masking up. The agency could lift the indoor requirement for the public sooner than March 31st, but it will keep that date for schools to give students time to get vaccinated, OHA officials said. The state health authority said the March 31st date provides 7 weeks to work with the education department on new guidance for schools. The date also gives district leaders time to discuss with their local school boards, teachers' unions, and employees whether to require masks independently of the state. Schools that allow students and staff to go with masks indoors would no longer have access to the Test to Stay program, which allows unvaccinated students to stay in school even after exposure as long as they test negative 3 to 5 days later. And without a mask requirement in schools, unvaccinated students will need to quarantine immediately after exposure, according to the new guidance from OHA that came later this week. Local officials have not yet committed to a direction for Canby schools. Superintendent Aaron Downs on Monday said the district will collaborate with local health officials and staff to prepare for the change. Our goal is to provide a calm and caring environment for students to learn in person, 5 days per week, he said. We appreciate your partnership as staff and students continue to wear face coverings in school until any changes are put in place. We recognize the ongoing complexity during these times and acknowledge that each of us will have a unique response to this news. We value collaboration with our school district community, and we will keep the lines of communication open. Talk about raising the stakes. Canby's Revel Meat Company has received a $661,000 USDA grant, which the meat processor and wholesaler plans to use to create an expanded traceability program that lets ranchers trace their products back to a specific pasture and breeding pairs of animals. We are extremely excited to have won this generous grant, proving to not only us but to others the need and viability of a true traceability program, said James Serlin, co-founder of Revel Meat Company. We know that investing in such a program is of utmost importance to ensure a more transparent meat supply chain. The new program will allow producers to differentiate their products in the marketplace and reach new customers. Revel was able to attain the grant with the help of Steward, a social enterprise that supports the growth of regenerative farms and food producers across the United States. To implement the program, Revel said it would require training and technical assistance to a network of ranchers, more monitoring of animals using a radio frequency identification, RFID ear tag system, and logistical support. It will also need enhanced promotion and rebranding of products that will help farmers market their products more effectively and efficiently to customers. Revel's processing plant, Mark's Meat, is certified organic by Oregon Tilth, Animal Welfare Approved, GAP4 certified, and implements systemic approaches to humane livestock handling in the Pacific Northwest. Thank you. Governor Kate Brown's final State of the State address on Thursday served largely as a victory lap while she challenged legislatures to approve her plans to spend $700 million on job training, housing, and childcare. As she did last year, Brown gave her 30-minute speech virtually from her office instead of standing before a joint session of the legislature because of the risk of COVID transmission. A steady stream of critical comments, mostly about COVID restrictions, were posted as she appeared on YouTube. In my last year as governor, I view every day, every moment, as one more opportunity to focus on the big and bold work we still have to do, Brown said. For Brown, that work takes the form of her last big spending plans, a $200 million jobs package that legislatures are skeptical of, $100 million for child care subsidies, and $400 million to build more affordable housing. The state's economy is strong, she said, and her plan will keep it that way. Oregon legislatures will get a clear picture when state economists release their latest forecast next week. As of now, the state is expected to have about $2.5 billion above the amount budgeted for the 2021 to 2023 period. But many Oregonians are struggling to find high-paying careers, and employers are struggling to find workers, Brown said. That's particularly acute among historically disadvantaged groups, such as people of color, she said. Brown's three-pronged jobs plan would spend roughly $92 million on existing programs that train Oregonians for new jobs, with the remainder of the money split among community groups and direct financial aid to individuals, such as help paying tuition. Lawmakers have questioned whether the plan will do enough to address immediate staff shortages. She also urged lawmakers to approve her $400 million plan to build more affordable houses. You can see the housing crisis everywhere in Oregon, from Coos Bay to Ontario and back again, Brown said. Since 2000, single-family home prices have tripled in Portland. Rent in Portland has gone up 25% in the last 5 years alone. But this is not just a Portland issue. In response, Republican leaders criticized Brown for not addressing Oregonians' perceptions of safety. Public safety is shaping up to be a major issue in this year's elections, exacerbated by 2020 protests in Portland. The governor's workforce package won't do anything for our economy if people don't feel safe to work or do business here, said Senator Tim Knopp, Republican of Bend, and the leader of the Senate GOP. Oregonians are desperate for real leadership and solutions on public safety. Cougar Country Hometown Sports Coverage is brought to you by Reif and Hunsaker PC. When you need an attorney, turn to the firm Canby has trusted for over 50 years. Call them today at 503-266-3456. For the latest sports news, follow us on Twitter at Cougar Country OR and Instagram at Cougar Country POD. As if hanging tough with the number 5 Westland Lions weren't proof enough that Canby wrestling is for real, their win over 21 other teams at the Bill Geister Invitational Tournament in Clackamas showed how good the Cougars can be. After blowing by most Three Rivers competition, Canby faced the league's best school in West Lynn, ranked number 5 in the state. All year, the Cougars have relied on their depth to wear down opposing teams, and against West Lynn, it was no different. Their match against Lions went down to the wire before the Lions ended up on top, 39-36. It was a close duel, and we had a couple of matches that we could have gone either way, Canby Wrestling head coach Jeremy Ensrud told Now Hear This, Canby. We know we are close with them, and we have more depth. While Canby would pin 5 wrestlers to Westland's 4, the Lions would squeak by thanks to 3 wins by majority decisions. Despite the rare loss, Canby's dominance over the other 21 schools at the Geister tournament was enough to take home the trophy. The Cougars scored 218 points as opposed to Westland's 211.5 and pinned an otherworldly 33 other wrestlers over the course of the 2-day tourney. 11 different Cougars placed in the tournament, hosted by Clackamas High School, while 2 Cougars, Craig Williams and Tyler Hedberg, qualified for the finals. The Geister tournament demonstrated what we are capable of, Ensrud said, and we will need to take that momentum into the league tournament. While the boys are otherwise engaged, Canby wrestler Lex Lee Lopez-Zurdiaga will be competing for a state title of her own. The 170-class wrestler qualified for finishing 3-1 and nabbing third place at the Special District Northwest Tournament in Hillsboro over the weekend, defeating Sunset's Ariana Boyd by fall. She is the lone Cougar girl to qualify for state this year. The girls' wrestling state tournament will be held at Culver High School on February 24th. We are very proud of Lex Lee qualifying for the state tournament, said Ensrud. We have lost several of girls due to injury or other reasons. We are hoping Lex Lee can be our first girls' state placer.
So, Tyler, Valentine's Day is coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Got any big plans with the missus?
Oh, you know it.
That's what I thought. A little candlelight, nice dinner.
Mm-hmm. Check and check.
Romantic music, champagne, and of course, books.
Wait, what?
Oh, yeah, man. Ladies love books, and books are a great gift that show you value and appreciate everything about that special someone in your life, including their mind.
Okay, I'm with you. One problem, though. What if I don't know what book she would like?
Not to worry, my friend. The Book Nook on North Grant Street in downtown Canby has you covered with their Blind Date with a Book promotion. You just pick out the genre and they take care of the rest, sending you home with your choice of a new or used pre-wrapped hardcover or paperback gem that she or he or they are sure to love.
That does sound pretty cool and romantic.
Yep. Plus, Book Nook has a fantastic selection of chocolate, candy, cards, and other gifts for all of your Valentine's needs.
And that's not all. If you're in need of a special outing on Valentine's week, look no further than Trivia Night at Wayward Sandwiches Thursday, February 17th. They're partnering with the Book Nook for an evening of romantic literature-themed trivia. Awesome bookish prizes and lots of fun.
For all things books and more, check out The Book Nook, 294 Northwest 2nd Avenue, or visit them on Facebook, Instagram, and at booknookcanby.com. It's back. Hosted by the Canby Rotary Club, Canby's inaugural Daddy-Daughter Dance was one of the first local events to be postponed due to the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic in March 2020. Now, 2 years later, the need for parents, kids, families, and the community to come together, reconnect, and have a little fun is greater than ever. Here's Canby Rotary President and event organizer, Ray Keene.
So the Daddy-Daughter Dance is really just coming online at, I think, a really important time for the relationships that are really core in our community. When you think about opportunities to come together with a father and a daughter to connect, or other meaningful relationships, we're really open to all coming. So, you know, when those relationships are kind of when they've been hammered the way that the last couple of years have, you know, really impacted all of our relationships, I think it's really an important time for dads and daughters to be able to get together and do something that's really special.
So join us for an evening of fun, food, magic, music, and of course, dancing from 6 to 9 p.m. Saturday, March 12th at the Ackerman Center in Canby. The night will include a chocolate fountain, refreshments, arts and crafts, a photo booth, a live magic show, and other surprises that are sure to amaze and delight the little princess in your life. Tickets are $30 per couple and $10 for every additional child, with all proceeds supporting the work of Canby Rotary and its charitable efforts in our community. All are welcome at this fun, friendly, and inclusive event. For tickets or more information, visit canbyrotary.com. On the Can Be Conversation today, we're delighted to welcome a new guest, Andrew Brown. He is an area director, film producer, writer, and just all kinds of other creative stuff. Hi, Andrew.
Jack of all trades.
Absolutely.
How you doing?
Absolutely. You're fresh off your latest project, which is called Family First.
Yep.
Yeah. Family Tell us First. A little bit about this latest one, and then we'll kind of talk more about
there?
Your career.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I warn you. You got me here.
So. Right. Yeah. How long do we have?
How long do we have? Don't ask me what my favorite movies are. I'll be like, no, I'm kidding.
Yeah, right.
Top 50. Okay, Family First. Yeah, that is that's my newest film. So that was inspired by family. Mm. I know that sounds like a no-brainer, but
well, I guess we should say first, you have your own production company, your own studio,
yes,
right?
Sir. Yeah. Confound yeah. Productions.
Yeah. Yep. And this is one of their projects, one of your projects.
Yep.
Through
yep.
That.
Third feature. Mm-hmm. Third feature. So Family First, you just want to know where that idea
yeah.
came from? Or?
Sure. Tell us
okay.
a little bit about it. And I know you kind of produced it during the pandemic, which was probably the first one you had done through that. Which probably,
well, no, second.
Oh, second. Okay. So you yep. had a little experience with that. But that changes, yeah, everything.
We'll get into that in a second if you like. That's a moving target.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Family First. Okay. Going in with a little experience now, third feature.
Mm-hmm.
How do I say this in fewer words? With the pandemic, we'll use that, and politics and
yeah.
stuff going on around the world, everybody was going through a hard time. Everybody mm-hmm. I know, I'm sure people you've known
yeah.
or know.
No, everybody that I know loved it.
What's that?
They just loved it. They were excited about it.
Oh, the pandemic?
Yeah.
And politics and the
yeah,
elections
yeah.
and all
Everyone's
that.
Everyone's just really happy about the way things are going right now.
I saw a lot of division with family, including my own.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, sure.
Sisters hating brothers and brothers hating brothers and parents and just a complete divide. And it just got ugly. And I had a few friends that I kind of lost over this,
yeah.
this time period. And a lot of it's been reconciled now. But
good.
It inspired me to write a story about family.
Yeah, to dive into that.
Yeah. So
yeah.
This one is about three adopted brothers.
Mm-hmm.
That live by a code, and their code is family first.
Mm-hmm.
They put family before themselves, and that's
yeah.
the idea. And so one of the brothers, I play this brother, Keno Marshall, in the film, and he gets back from the military after being in 14 years, and they go out to celebrate, him and the brothers, the Marshall family. And before he leaves that bar that night, he gets a call saying that his daughter's been kidnapped and the other brother's wife is murdered and it destroys the family.
Yeah.
Basically, family is no longer first after this. Their lives fall apart.
Mm.
And my character is kind of pursuing the whole movie, not giving up looking for his daughter. But in the meanwhile, he's got one brother who's caught up in gambling. The other one's caught up in other things. And so.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah,
so
it's a drama. It's an action drama.
I've watched the trailer. I haven't seen the film yet,
yeah.
but I didn't necessarily get that. So there's a passage of time between when the kidnapping and things initially
yeah.
happen and then when the dad is kind of pursuing
Correct.
The
yeah,
rest of the story. Yeah.
There's the big event, you know, the,
yeah.
like a Taken kind
Yeah, it
kind
is
of
very
vibe.
Taken
It's
vibes.
A Taken vibe.
Yeah.
Hey, that's what sells, the trailer.
You know
what?
Thank you for not trying to do the Liam Neeson accent.
Yeah.
By the way.
I will find you. No.
Specific
but yes,
skills.
You're right. It's totally that vibe, the Taken vibe. But it's got some slow parts to it. It's a drama.
Yeah, yeah. It is interesting to see an independent film, an independent studio kind of take a straight action. You've got fight scenes. You've
yes.
got stuff that maybe a lot of independent companies might be a little intimidated by or be afraid that it might be a little cheesy or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, from what I saw from the trailer again, seems like you yeah had some really cool choreography, fight choreography and everything.
I appreciate you opening that door.
Yeah.
So we're trying to break a mold.
Yeah.
We'll get into that in a minute. But the martial arts aspect, I grew up as an artsy guy, I guess.
Military yourself?
Nope.
No,
nope.
Okay.
I got family.
Yeah.
In every branch,
yeah.
pretty much.
You've got the look, but that's from the film.
Yeah, a little shade head.
Yeah, yeah. You've got the hairstyle going.
But I started martial arts when I was 12.
Okay.
And I took a karate. I got a black belt in that.
Mm.
And then I got into what's called Shaolin Kung Fu, and it's a mix of five different martial arts. And then I got into Wing Chun, JKD, and Kali, and sticks and knives. And let me know if that's peaking or anything.
Yeah, no, you're great.
So I've had that background, and I kind of pursued that avenue most of my life. I still do it. And so when I got into writing, I wanted to write what I know. And, and martial arts just kind of fit into that nicely. So,
Yeah, that's cool. And so that's authenticity. Very cool. Because, because a lot of independent projects tend to be just a lot of dialogue, right? Like they... You don't see them try to do too many flips or face punches.
No, not if you're sane.
right.
But yeah, that's kind of the idea how that story stemmed about.
Yeah. Interesting. I'd love to hear a little bit more about kind of the writing of it, because that is interesting to me that it did emerge out of this this kind of feeling of people being divided, even experiencing that in your own life and exploring that a little bit. And did this process help you find clarity as far as that goes a little bit? Or,
well, I try to impact others. Like I said, I had made reconciliation with some of the friends that, you know, I've had some issues with, but that's a good question. Do my own films help me? I don't know.
Sure.
I guess I hope. I mean, I'm impacted by film.
Right.
So I guess that's just a writer's job, is to try to, you know, impact others. I mean, elicit emotion, right?
Yeah.
That's the one goal we have to do. If you can make somebody laugh, cry, be angry, some kind of emotion, you've done your job.
Production-wise, filmed a lot in Malala, I understand. Most of it. Yeah.
Yes. I got a lot of good support out there.
Yeah.
I'll just say that. Foothills Church on Beaver Creek. And they got two campuses.
Yeah.
I know the pastoral staff there and some friends, they're really good friends of mine.
Yeah.
And they've been supportive.
Yeah.
So getting a place to actually premiere your film's been nice. I've been able to play my films there.
Yeah.
But I just know a lot of people out there now. People that are willing to give up their shop or their house, and there's people that live in the country, they got a lot of land. So I've been fortunate there to live out there, for one, but to know people that have been willing to help.
Is that out where you draw a lot of the cast as well, and crew or volunteers?
Okay, so jumping all over here.
Yeah, that's what I do, man. Got to keep you on your toes.
I like this guy. I like him. He's a good guy. Okay, so if you allow me, I'll go back in a brief way.
Okay.
So starting out, it was writing is where I started.
Yeah.
Right. So in 2007, and I'll give you just the Reader's Digest version. So in 2007, I was doing some security work and I had nothing to do sitting at this back gate. I'm like, man, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
Well, the creative part in me, since I was a kid, I got my own first video camera when I was 12. Yeah. I worked my whole summer for it. I used to do commercials with my friends.
Nice.
And, you know, that creative part never left me.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom, I blame her. So mom, if you're listening to this, she would say, whenever I was bored, it's like, I'll go watch a movie.
Yeah.
You know, how old are you, Tyler?
I am 33.
Okay, so you might not know this. I'm 41, but you may not know what I'm saying here, but VHSs?
No, I'm a movie guy myself, and I definitely remember the rewinding. And,
So you get me. You know, we had a VCR with thousands of VHSs.
Click.
So when you were bored, it was, go watch a movie.
Yeah.
Well, my mom created a monster. So even up into my adulthood, that's all I did was watch movies.
Yeah.
So fast forward, I go back to this back gate where I'm sitting there at the guard shack, and I'm like, what do I do? And I'm like, I want to make a martial art action adventure, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sitting back there and I'm like, do I want to do a screenplay or a novel?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, I'm not good enough to do a screenplay. I think that just sounds really hard.
Yeah.
You know, because I've read a book.
Right.
You know, I think I can write a novel. So I dive in, I start writing characters and novel and story and yada, yada. In the end, my story was horrible. It was horrible.
Yes.
So 5 years
most in. Most first novels are.
Yeah. But now hold on. 5 years in of editing this thing.
Oh, stuck with it.
I had to go back and learn how to write.
Okay.
Because I didn't know how to do that. Yeah. So all you out there that are thinking about picking up the pad and pen, make sure you understand the idea of story and plot and all that. So
yeah.
I ended up getting this novel done. And I decided, man, I don't know why I wrote a novel, because I want to see it on the screen.
Yeah.
I like movies.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, wonder if I can convert my novel into a screenplay.
Mm-hmm.
Mistake number two. I tried that, and it was horrible.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot of these movies today, Hunger Games, Lord of the Rings,
yeah.
And everybody always says they're never as good as the books.
Right.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah.
You can't pile 600-page book and crunch it to 100 and something pages.
Yeah.
You know. So I decided to start from scratch, and I wrote a screenplay. And it was called In Debt Deep, and it's just about a female MMA fighter who has to fight underground for her niece, right, to pay off a debt. Simple story.
Yeah.
And I wrote this, and I saw a screenplay contest, and I chucked it in there on the last day of the entry.
Hmm.
And I took fourth place.
Wow.
Out of 1,600 people.
Yeah.
And I thought, man, okay, let's try this again.
Yeah.
So I threw it in the Nashville Film Festival, and I took second place.
Wow.
And I thought, okay, what I had found was I spent all this time learning how to do novel writing.
Yeah.
That in a novel writing, you got to be descriptive, and you got to be, I mean,
you got to understand how the characters are thinking. Yeah. That's like the big thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you go to screenwriting, you have to be straight to the point.
Right.
Less words. And I thought, man, I'm cheating.
Right.
This is my wheelhouse, you know? Now, to start there, I end up optioning that script, by the way. And so, that's where it started. And I had talked to production companies and Millennium Films is a big one. But nothing was going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I am tired of my stuff sitting on a shelf.
Yeah.
So that's where I picked up the camera and started doing things. Well, it's a long way to your answer,
Interesting.
Tyler.
Interesting, yeah.
But I did a short film, and it's called Mariah. It's on YouTube, free.
Okay.
If anybody wants to look it up,
yeah.
Look up Mariah Action Short Film. 7 minutes. I threw it in the Neo Noir Film Festival, and it got an honorable mention award.
Mm.
And I was like, this is cool.
Yeah.
What else can I do?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So
I started
reading and started studying and started getting books. And, well, what's the editing? What's the sound? What's this microphone?
Yeah.
And I said, I think I'm ready to make a feature film. Now, the answer to your question, tell you all that, is I was like, well, how do I do this within budget?
Yeah.
I thought, well, I'm going to have to write around friends that I know that's willing to act. Now, everybody says, yeah, I know that. I've done that too.
Yeah.
But I was willing, because I had the writer's background, I thought, well, I can tell a story.
Yeah.
I'm going in with an advantage, I think. In my mind, I'm thinking, I'm going in with an advantage. I got the writing aspect. I got awards.
Yeah.
I think I got this, you know? And so I was able to right around locations I had access to,
mm-hmm.
and then right around my friends' personalities.
Yeah.
I didn't change that. If you couldn't cry, if you couldn't get angry, I wouldn't do it.
Right.
And so over 21 days in the summer, I shot my first film, Confound. And, you know, it's low budget. When you watch it, you can tell. My daughter is the lead in the film,
mm-hmm.
and she was 12 at the time. But she got nominated for Best Actress in the International Christian Film Festival, and we couldn't go.
Yeah.
We couldn't go because COVID hit. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally hit. We were like, plane tickets purchased the next day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, now how do I get my money back?
Oh, that old headache. Yeah, I remember that.
So I could go on and on, but... Well, it'll lead me up to my next film, but I'll let you ask the questions.
Well, I'm curious, because you mentioned Foothills, you know, you kind of alluded to it, I think, in some of your other, descriptions and telling us about your journey. But obviously you do and have specialized in a lot of action stories, you know, martial arts being a big part of it. But I get the sense, and from the trailer as well, and from other descriptions of the project, that your faith is a big part of it as well. How does that factor in? How do you marry those in a way that's not cheesy, right?
Yeah, no, great question. Man, you know, yeah, I am a man of faith. I'm a Christian, and, you know, when you look at Christian movies, the first thing you think of is cheesy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You'll probably hear some other guys say this, so I don't want to like steal anything they say, but you know, Alex Kendrick does these great movies, like Facing the Giants, mm-hmm. Fireproof. You've probably heard of a lot of them.
Yeah.
Courageous. Mm-hmm. They're great movies, you know, and he kind of did something that brought attention to Hollywood, like, hey, we can make movies that are low budget and don't have stars in it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a huge fan of Kendrick Brothers. In fact, I did steal his model.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, well, he's doing it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I could do that.
Yeah.
But you don't see a whole lot of action movies.
Yeah.
In that genre.
No.
In the faith-based area.
Yeah.
And I love Christian movies, but I also like Star Wars, and I also like The Avengers and Lord of the Rings and Taken. I'll even like that one. You know, I like these other movies, but with the Christian movies, it can't only be about the guy that gets saved at every movie. Yeah. I'm like, there's a whole other world of people out there that like other kinds of movies and can have a great message.
Yeah.
And so my goal is how can I get action into my films, like martial arts or a guy with a gun or whatever. I have that wheelhouse, so I'm using that. How can I get that in there without having kind of a, like the sexual content?
Yeah.
the excess gore or the profanity.
Yeah.
You know, I want to have something that my kids can watch.
Yeah.
You know, and I understand there's some good movies with some bad words and stuff. Like, I'm not knocking any of that. I'm just saying there's a hole there in the market. And so that's kind of my goal, is to make some action movies, particular in the faith area, but it doesn't have to be. It just needs to be some clean ones out there, other than scrolling through Netflix going, they're all rated R,
right. You
know?
Right.
So anyways, I hope that answers.
So it's not necessarily, or am I wrong, but it's not necessarily like there's a really, you know, kind of blatant Christian message. It's just sort of we're going for a certain higher level. We're kind of raising the genre a little bit.
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah, that's, I do have to say this, doing Family First, I've taken some heat a little bit.
Okay.
It does have actually a gospel message.
Okay.
It's just not in your face.
Yeah.
The father, played by Brian Eberle, who's a friend of mine, who's also a pastor at Foothills.
Yeah.
He plays a pastor in the film.
Uh-huh.
And, He displays this gospel message beautifully in this scene, and it's powerful.
Right.
But no, it's not.
It's not like all the bad guys are atheists.
No, right. And everybody's all, you know, it's all godly family.
Yeah.
No, this family's a mess. It brings for realism.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You like punch him with a cross ring or something and he like crumbles.
I just mean on these characters. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It brings for realism.
Yeah.
To have, because I've taken some heat when I'm a part of a lot of the faith-based groups.
For not being Christian enough, or not being blatant enough about it? Or
maybe.
Yeah.
Gosh, I hate to just sound like I'm blasting my friends, but I'm not. If you're listening, guys, I love you. They all get me, by the way.
Yeah.
They understand. But like I put the trailer out there when it first came out, and oh man, I had the best positive feedback on the trailer that I had versus the other two, you know, that I did. But I would get one or two that would private me or something and say, oh yeah, but does it have a good message in there? And I'm like, yes, it does. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't know. I saw the beer bottles and I saw that alcohol and the gambling. And I'm like, yes, there is that. And there's some violence. I'm like, okay, look. And I got this from distributors too. Mm.
Yeah.
Christian distributors.
Sure.
When I'm trying to get it out there, they watch the trailer and they say, this looks really violent. Well, I don't know. And I'm like, well, can you watch The Karate Kid? Yeah. Well, then it's no more violent than The Karate Kid.
Yeah.
You know, Daniel's getting kicked in the face the end of the movie.
Right.
So,
Karate Kid did all right, I think.
I think it did pretty good.
I think
good.
It was pretty successful.
I think a lot of families were happy. Ninja Turtles was another one.
Yeah, there you go.
But I don't mean to kind of pound that home, but
yeah.
I just I'm taking a big hit for trying to do something different. Yeah. But you know, I'm not the only one. There's actually some other Christian or faith-based artists out there that are actually doing some things.
Yeah.
Even David R. Wyatt for PureFlix has done Revelation Road, Backman, and a few other movies. So
yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah. No, I like it. I think that to me it kind of speaks a little bit to what you were talking more about earlier. But as far as your artistic process, I think that I think that you really, and you learn to do that to be more subtle about your message as well. You know that it really is important, I think, to you hear this a lot, but like to show and not tell, right? And
I think
you need to do that with some of your larger messages as well, because if you're just, you know, on page one, it's like here's what I'm trying to tell you, and just hammering somebody over the head with it, nobody enjoys that.
There's real stories in life.
Yeah,
you know, you just said something that rang a bell, but like what was I gonna say? I was gonna say, like, I use that as an example, like getting saved. You know, I'm all about that, like becoming a Christian. You know, it's like, that's not always what the story's about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Take a movie like The Rookie.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis Quaid.
Yeah.
Year 2000.
Yeah.
Disney movie. It's one of my favorites.
Mm.
I love the writer of that film, Mike Rich. He's a Portlander, by the way.
Oh, cool.
He's a local guy. He's done a lot of big, big Disney movies. And but you take that movie, it's a great story.
Yeah.
Here's a guy, washed up, 35 years old, 3 or 4 surgeries, comes back, major league pitcher.
Yeah.
Great story.
Yeah.
There's no gospel message in there.
Yeah.
You know? We need to be able to tell good stories, you know? So I definitely want to bring faith to my movies, but sometimes you just want to tell a good story, and the main part of that story isn't about somebody getting saved.
Yeah.
So I wish there wasn't such a divide in that
area. I mean,
area.
Even not to get too religious on this podcast, but you even go back to Jesus, you know, central figure of Christianity. He was a storyteller, you know, he loved to tell parables, and they were deep, you know, deeply metaphorical, and always couched and kind of encompassed in these everyday, you know, things. Meeting people where they're at, things that people would instantly recognize. Yeah. And I feel like that's a important element to storytelling, and maybe something to bring up if you do have friends being like, why is there beer? It's like, well, people drink beer.
People
like
drink
that's
beer.
That's, like, that's part of life for a lot of people.
Real life.
And that's something that can maybe make a story, you know, make a connection with someone or make a story more real. So very cool.
Yeah.
Well, it has been really awesome hearing about all this, hearing more about your process. I'd love to hear, I understand you've got some news. The movie has been picked up for at least one festival, I think.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. The Arizona Faith and Family Film Festival was just accepted in there.
Nice. And they know about the beer. They're cool.
they're okay with beers. I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay.
Today I'll know if we win an award or not, but...
Oh, awesome. Okay.
That's always a long shot, so I won't put my...
Very cool. Where can people check it out? It's on Amazon.
Yep. So Family First is available on Amazon, and it's available on Christian Cinema.
Okay.
Two different streaming platforms.
Cool. Yeah. You have a Facebook page, other ways that people can connect with you?
I do. It's the best way to connect with me, actually. Confound Productions.
Okay.
So you can find me on Facebook and find me on YouTube. Awesome. I do need some more subscribers.
Yeah.
Just
okay.
Getting started on that one a little early.
Very cool. Well, maybe your next project, you could do like a local podcaster. I feel like I could be action star.
You want to be
in
a movie?
I feel like I could.
Okay.
As long as I get
to
hit somebody.
You guys all heard that.
Might be able to get Tyler. Andrew Brown, thanks so much for taking time out to talk to us, man.
I appreciate it.
Okay, Tyler, I need to tell you about the latest giveaway from DirectLink.
Okay.
So I know you're not the biggest sports guy.
Not at all.
But let me paint you a little picture. Portland versus Oklahoma City in the first round of the playoffs. 10 seconds left, all tied up with the series on the line. Damian Lillard is at half court, Paul George in his face. Dame, cool as ice, lets the clock drain down to nothing, then launches this ridiculous bomb from the logo. Nothing but net. And the crowd goes insane. Here, check this out.
Lillard, long range three, and it's good! At the buzzer, Damian Lillard!
Okay, I gotta admit, that's pretty cool. Can you imagine being there?
I know, right? Well, thanks to our friends at DirectLink, Canby's local reliable internet provider, you can.
I can? Yes!
Well, no, actually, you can't. But one of our listeners can.
Oh, well, okay.
That's because we're giving away two 100-level tickets to the Blazers versus San Antonio on March 23rd.
Wait, I don't even know what that is, but that sounds so cool. Level 100 seats?
That's right. Only a dozen rows back from the court. This ticket giveaway is exclusively for our podcast listeners and readers, and you can enter to win right now at directlink.coop/canbecurrent. The giveaway will end on March 2nd, and the winner will be randomly chosen that day.
Okay, but I do have one serious question.
Okay.
Can I seriously not enter to win these tickets?
Okay, well, Tyler, all the rules are on the website. Just visit directlink.coop/canbecurrent, and good luck, everybody.
Damian Lillard for 50 points. Good night.
Are you a healthcare hero? Do you want to become one? Are you looking for a position where you are valued, your time is your own, and you have ample opportunity for growth? Marquee companies at Hope Village in Canby, Oregon offers all of that and more. They are currently hiring nurses, caregivers, CNAs, and enrolling students in their free CNA course. From competitive wages and up to $25,000 tuition reimbursement to flexible schedules and the opportunity to make a positive impact on someone's life, Marquee at Hope Village is the right place for you. Take your career to the next level and apply now to become a valued team member at Marquee at Hope Village in Canby. To learn more or apply today, text CURRENT, that's CURRENT, to 888-906-3432. All right, at this time we are so delighted to welcome back Bill King. He's the owner and operator of King's Farm to Table Canby Market here in downtown Canby. Hi, Bill. Welcome back.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Great. Really good. Happy to be talking to you.
Yeah, we are as well. So we obviously have a big sporting event coming up. We've got the Super Bowl.
Indeed we do.
But we are here to talk to you about my favorite part, honestly, of Super Bowl, which is the food aspect.
Okay.
So
cool.
You guys have a special menu that you've rolled out for Super Bowl parties.
We do. You know, we've been doing special menus. We did some things for Thanksgiving and for Christmas and for New Year's Eve. Well, now, you know, Super Bowl's the next national holiday, right?
I say that
to my wife, and it drives her nuts.
But right up there with all those.
Of course it is. Anyway, yeah, so we've got a great menu. We've got three different kinds of wings. We've got buffalo wings, barbecue, and hot honey wings, which mm-hmm. are really, really delicious. And we've a couple of meatballs, and we've got a queso dip and a spinach dip and, you know, things like that. We've got some cocktail shrimp. So we've got something that you could just, some sliced tri-tip beef. So, you know, we've got set up, so all you got to do is come in and pick out a few things and lay them out on your table, and you're set.
Yeah.
You can watch the game and do whatever you want to do, including having a cocktail or two.
Nice. I wanted to ask you how you kind of put the menu together, but I get the sense you sort of took a lot of the kind of staples, some of the classics, and kind of did your own take on them, which is pretty typical for you guys.
Yes, that's correct. I mean, I didn't want to, you know, get too far outside the box. Super Bowl's is about the game, but, you know, everybody loves wings and, you know, some cocktail meatballs and steamed shrimp and that kind of thing and a dip or two. We've got these really fun little sausage puffs and sausage baked in puff pastry.
Yeah.
So just, you know, things that you can grab that you can just, you know, a bite at a time or make a little plate.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just that kind of traditional fare.
Yeah, absolutely. And are you guys, do you already do a lot of this, or are you looking to do more of it? I mean, we visit your place and kind of we'll grab something for dinner or maybe a quick meal or whatnot.
Yeah,
this is obviously more of like a party or almost a sort of catering type approach.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so we've got all these things by the pound or by the pint, you know, if it's a dip. And, you can come and grab as little or as much as you want, and get yourself set up for the party.
Gotcha, gotcha. I'm going to take mine and put them in my own Tupperware and say I made them.
I hope
you won't be offended.
And to be very honest with you, I know for a fact a few people do that.
Consider doing that?
With several of our different meals. Our lasagna seems to be something that people love to take credit for, which is just fine with us.
Yeah.
Happy to do it.
What is the schedule for this? Is it available now? Or
no, we're going to have it available Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So just for the weekend, so you can get it all be fresh and ready to go, and just like I said, just pop it in the oven or you microwave it, or some of the stuff's cold and you're on the table, and again, you're just enjoying the rest of the day.
Good to go. Awesome. What else is going on here? What do you got coming up after?
Well, we're thinking about doing an Italian theme for a couple of weeks.
Okay.
And I think that might be early March.
Okay.
But my mother was from Slovenia, which is as close to being Italian as you can be without being Italian.
Gotcha.
So I grew up on Italian, and I love it. It's probably one of my favorite cuisines to work with. So, and you know, it's popular, and there's all kinds of things we can do. So I think we might fill the deli case with some Italian things for a couple of weeks and just have some fun with it.
That sounds great.
And then, of course, spring's not too far away, and you know, we're going to start seeing local produce, and so we'll start filling produce. The first things that'll come in are the tree fruits from Hood River. We'll have cherries, and then nectarines, peaches, apricots, and then following that, we'll be down here, and we get our berries from just down the road at Barlow Berries, and corn will be happening then. We get that from Martinez Family Farm right here on Lone Elder Road, so we'll have a lot of fresh local produce as soon as the weather starts making it available to us.
Awesome. Got St. Paddy's coming up in March. Is Ireland, is that a region you ever
I'm sure we'll do something. I recognize
some
that it's coming. And we'll figure something out and maybe do some traditional things there, or maybe have some fun with some party food again.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll do something.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, Bill, well, the last question I got to ask you, who do you got? Bills or Bengals, Rams?
Oh, man, I got to flip a coin on this one. I honestly think it could go either way. It seems like a lot of people like the Bengals to pull maybe a little bit of an upset, but they're outstanding. Both teams have great defense. Rams' defense is really serious, but the Bengals have really started to roll on offense, so
right.
I got to flip a coin. If I got to pick, my brother-in-law is a diehard Rams fan, so I'll take the Rams.
Okay, so you take the Bengals, just me.
Yeah, right. Oh, that's right. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
all
right.
Well, Bill, thanks so much. Enjoy the game, and thanks for taking time out.
Yeah, thanks, man. I really enjoyed it.
And now, a message from Donna Ellison of Ellison Team Homes.
Hi, everyone. I wanted to take this moment to invite you personally to come and hang out with us for our end of season client event. It's a thank you to all the wonderful people we've done business with, as well as a welcome to a lot of our community. I'm doing this in partnership with Vanessa Zimmerman, Zimmerman team at Academy Mortgage. It's just kind of our way of saying thank you. We've really enjoyed getting to know you, doing business with you, etc. We'll be outside. We're sensitive to the fact that we're in COVID, still dealing with that. So it will be spread out. People will have room to breathe and sit and walk and talk. Reckless Company, if you've never heard them before, they're awesome. They're going to be playing. We'll have TMK here. I can't wait to try the corn dog. I've been waiting like 2 years to try this corn dog. So it looks amazing, and I've heard it's amazing, and I think there's quite a following. Also, they'll have all kinds of other food. We'll have beer and cider. Everything's hosted, of course, as a thank you. Again, it's for our clients. It's for our community. We really, really want to come and celebrate. We'll have swag for you, all kinds of fun things for the kids. We hope to see you on 9/16 from 4 to 8 in the afternoon.
Tyler, did you know that the Australian lyrebird can mimic any sound that it hears, even chainsaws?
No, that's super interesting.
Did you know that a baby puffin is called a puffling? That baby sea otters can't swim, so their moms wrap them up in pieces of kelp until they learn how to paddle?
Wait, do you know any trivia that isn't like animal related?
Not really, but here's some stuff you may not know about the Wild Hare Saloon, where Camby goes to eat and have fun.
Okay.
The Wild Hare is one of Camby's longest running locally owned restaurants. Owners Joan and Darren Moden have been in business for 16 years.
That's cool.
Yeah, heck, you were just a baby back then. And they love to give back. They've been members of the Camby Chamber for that long, and they donate over $20,000 to local sports, FFA programs, and civic organizations each year.
Wow, I'm legitimately like caught off. That's cool.
Yeah. They also support more than 30 jobs in the community through their award-winning staff, some of them as young as 18. Hey, that's older than you are.
Dude, I'm 10 months younger than you.
With the days getting longer and the weather getting warmer, the Camby Wild Hare's expansive outdoor patio is the place to be. Furry friends, welcome.
Well, that sounds great. I'm going to go check them out just off of Highway 99E next to the Space Age in Camby at 1656 Beaver Creek Road in Oregon City or on their website at thewildhairsaloon.net. Now Hear This Camby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Camby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Camby is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Camby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe. And we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.